Hi everyone, I'm David. I support Gen X Grown Up on Patreon, and you should too. Don't you want to keep this great content coming? So you know what to do. Go to genxgrownup.com/Patreon and just do it.
No life, no fun. Don't you know that you're a grown up?
Gen X Grown Up is a YouTube channel, website, and audio podcast you're listening to right now. All made for and by people who love exploring media, games, tech, and toys of yesterday and today through the eyes of Gen Xers who refuse to grow up.
Your dinner cannot just be French fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up.
Welcome back, Gen X Grown-Up Podcast listeners, to this, the backtrack edition of the Gen X Grown-Up Podcast. I am John. Joining me, as always, of course, is Mo.
Hey, everybody.
It would not be a show without George. Hey, man.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
You know, throughout history, it's usually the hero of the story who gets all the accolades. But what about the hero's assistant or buddy or partner who puts in the same effort but is always lost in the shadow of the star? Not today, though. In this backtrack, we remember and celebrate some of our favorite sidekicks from Gen X era media. This is one that was suggested by a fourth listener, Deacon, over on Discord at genxgrownup.com/Discord, where you can join in the conversation. Some time ago, Deacon was saying, we're talking about, you know, suggestions for backtracks. Like, how about sidekicks? There's so many cool sidekicks. He listed like 20 of them. We put that in our notes. And so let that be a message to you. If you suggest something, it might not happen right away.
We will get
it. It's probably going
to
happen because we run out of ideas eventually. And we go see what things
we're lazy, uncreative bastards, and we need help. That's why.
Yeah. I was trying to tap dance around that, but George nailed it. Yes. Before we get into talking about the Gen X era sidekicks, though, it is time for a piece of fourth listener email. The fourth listener this time around is Marcus B.
Oh.
Different Marcus than you might expect.
Different Marcus.
Subject line of Marcus's email is synchronicity.
Again.
Writing about that.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ.
People love talking about
it. Every episode, we're going to be a synchronicity email now.
Have you picked up on the fact that people liked it? They resonated.
Yeah,
people want to talk about synchronicity, music in general. So I edited Marcus's email down a bit, but not too much. I got in all the main points. He was just super excited about this.
Nice.
Backtrack. Here's what he had to say. Dear Gen X Grown Up, Marcus here, the other Marcus in Winter Haven, Florida. I absolutely love your backtrack episode, Synchronicity by the Police.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I'm glad. Many people did. We hear you loud and clear. I am a Gen X grown up who chose to be a professional musician. And pretty much everything about what I do is centered around my love for music and specifically the guitar.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
The Police have always been one of my favorite bands, and I love the album Synchronicity. I thought you guys did a wonderful job researching the history of the band and the album. Great job, Mo. We know that Mo did the most of that work. Heavy lifting. And each of you guys, though, added valuable info that was very accurate, and I personally would love to hear more music-related podcasts peppered in with all the other subjects you guys bring to our
ears. Nice. Okay,
yep, cool. We gotcha. He goes on to say, believe it or not, I like the song Mother.
Oh, God.
Look,
okay.
We called out. We said, who likes it? Tell us, right? Marcus does.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. We asked.
He says, it sounds chaotic, frantic, or maniacal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But as an artist, I appreciate that sometimes art is not pretty. It is meant to stir something inside of you, and this song creates tension that I feel serves the album well.
Okay.
So maybe in a vacuum, Mother by itself, because we were kind of analyzing each one on its own maybe, but as part of the package, I think Marcus is saying that then sets you up for the more melodic stuff coming after it. So
yeah. And also, I guess maybe as a musician himself, he might see more in it than we can.
I'm sure he does.
Appreciate more things than we can. So, okay.
I'm sure he sees more than I do.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
He finally wraps it up by saying, suggestion. As a guitarist, there is no Gen X era album I like more than Van Halen's 1984.
Oh, okay.
Mm, yeah.
That's a good one.
We have a list already, and that's another great one. Yeah.
That's a good one.
He says, I'm an expert on this band and that album. If you ever feel like talking about it, hit me up. It may be fun to have a Gen X musician's perspective for a segment.
True.
All right. He's volunteering himself. Anyway, I love and support the podcast. Thank you guys for bringing such a cool new idea to the show. All the best, the other Marcus.
The other white meat.
And the funny thing is, he's not the first one that actually say like, hey, here's this one album. If you need help, I'll help you.
If you need help, I'm an expert on it, right? Yeah. We clearly struck a nerve, and yeah, I'm glad we did. I'm glad we did. So, Marcus, other Marcus, thank you so much for writing into the show. We love that you listened. We love that you took the time to drop us a line and all your great suggestions and input. If you would like your email featured here on the show, it's drop dead easy. Just hit us up at podcast@genxgrownup.com. We read every single one, and most of them, just like Marcus's, will eventually make the show. All right. With that good business behind us, it's time to jump into this backtrack all about Gen X era sidekicks right after this.
Greetings from Evergreen Podcasts. We're rolling out a listener survey, and we want to hear from you. The information in the survey will help us gather statistics and in turn make our shows more appealing to advertisers. I know most people don't like ads, but this is one of the only ways our shows make money and help keep their lights on. We promise it will only take a few minutes, but the impact on our podcasts will be tremendous. As a token of our appreciation, we'll randomly select one lucky participant each month to win an exclusive merchandise package from Evergreen Podcasts. Head to evergreenpodcast.com/listener survey to help a show and possibly get some free stuff for doing so. We can't thank you enough for the support. Now back to the show.
Be sure to subscribe to or follow Gen X Grown Up wherever you listen. And while you're there, rate and review the show too. It helps more than you know.
I'm going to send you up against the best.
Yes, sir.
You two characters are going to Top Gun.
I feel the need. The need for speed.
5 weeks, you're going to fly against the best fighter pilots in the world.
You guys really are cowboys.
I don't like you because you're unsafe.
That's right.
I am dangerous.
The wild card. Flies by the seat of his pants.
Yeah, I guess when I see something, I go right after it.
It takes a lot more than just fancy flying.
I was going to start off this segment making some joke about George and Mo are my sidekicks, but I tried that joke at the end of the last episode. It didn't go well. So I'm not going to use that joke.
Better not, because there's an X button right here on my interface.
You can close your browser at any time. Now. It's so easy. I will turn this podcast around.
That's right.
So Deacon suggested this podcast, and we started stacking this. And as we always do, how are we going to, you know, how are we going to group these? How are we going to talk about them? First of all, I have to say, I'm already feeling shades of, you remember the Gen X vehicle podcast? Knight Rider and all the different vehicles. I thought we did a great job there, and we missed so many good ones.
Oh, I know.
There's no way we're going to get all your favorites in there.
We still got to talk about the Mr. Bean car, so I was happy.
You did get
That's
to do
true.
That.
That's true. You did get that. Yeah.
So we've kind of mirrored the structure there. We've broken this down into sidekicks from different Gen X era media. We're talking about movies and TV shows and cartoons. We thought about doing one for music. Look, we were just talking about how much our synchronicity backtrack resonated, but what we found, first of all, is there's so many sidekicks in music that they don't even know they're the sidekick until the other guy blows up and they become the sidekick.
Right.
And you could argue, you know, who's actually, you know, doing the heavy lifting and that kind of thing. And it became, that was a whole like argument in and of itself.
So it's a whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, it was like, all right, well, it's Hall and Oates. Well, is it Hall or is it Oates? Which one is it? You know, so anyway.
Wham.
That's Wham.
All,
exactly.
That's all of Wham.
And then Wham, you never saw him again. So that's how we're breaking it down. And so we're starting this first segment. We're talking about awesome sidekicks from the Gen X era in movies. And why don't you get us started?
Yeah, I'm going to go low hanging fruit here. Recent movie came out. His legacy still goes on today. And that's Goose from Top Gun.
Oh,
good choice.
Again, it's low hanging fruit, but he made the first movie, I think. I think without him, I think the first movie would have been terrible.
Oh, yeah.
But he wasn't the major character, right? He definitely was a supporting character.
He definitely was. And a recurring theme I think we're going to see in these sidekicks is Goose added color and texture and humanity to the main star. You get to see more about them. You get to see him interact with this sidekick. And Goose was like this embodiment. He's almost the ego or the id or whatever, whatever the Freudian terms were. He's like the yin and yang for Maverick that actually makes him a whole person. And when we lost him, it was devastating.
Yeah.
Just devastating. Mm.
Good pick, Mo.
Yeah, I kind of got to go with my my Asian brothers from other mothers out there, like my wife from the Philippines. I got to go with Short Round from Indiana Jones.
Oh, hell Kiwi yeah. Kwan. Hell yeah.
That kid in that movie stole every fucking scene. It wasn't the best of the Indiana Jones films. Wasn't the worst, but Short Round made that movie. No question. Yeah. Now, the actor has since come back into acting. He was just in that Everything All at Once movie. Yep. He got nominated as, believe it or not, a sidekick. He got nominated as like a supporting actor for that. And he's been doing the talk show circuit. And I, you know, he even got to meet Harrison Ford recently. You know, they're doing the whole new Indiana Jones 5.
Yeah.
Short Round, he's so beloved. John, he's not just Short Round, though. He was also in Goonies. I know you haven't seen that film.
He was in Goonies.
But he was in there.
What's Goonies?
Okay. That's just wrong. I've told you about the X on my browser here. It's a fun character. He's an awesome sidekick in every true sense of the word. Everything from driving Indy around to making fun of the girl when she falls off the elephant. He is the best sidekick to me in the movies of that era.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. I got to go with, look, you know, my dad was a truck driver. I have a whole family of truck drivers. I love truck driving movies or road trip movies like Smoking the Bandit and stuff like that. There was two films, actually, starring Clint Eastwood, and he had a sidekick who was an orangutan named Clyde. This is what Every Which Way You Can and Any Which Way But Loose, or maybe I'm getting the, the prefixes mixed up. Anyway, he's a truck driver and he's driving, and in the passenger seat is this amazing monkey that had the monkey they had, who the trainer, he had so much character.
Yeah.
It was that he's a pure sidekick. He didn't do anything heroic necessarily. No. He added color to the star. My entire family, every time we turn right, the only way you can preface a turn right is right turn, Clyde.
Right turn, Clyde.
Because he would swing his arm out and they used that to punch somebody who was standing up on the tanker one time. And so right turn, Clyde became the thing.
You know, he is such a great sidekick that he's actually memorialized in another film some 20 or 30 years later.
Yeah, which one?
What? Really? There's a character that does an impression of Clyde in Shaun of the Dead.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Nick Frost, his character. Right. He's like, oh, want your favorite monkey? Whenever Simon Pegg's character is sad, and he starts doing the, and then he does the,
that's with the finger. Oh, that's right. Yep. Nick Frost does the impression. That's right.
Yep.
Wow. Never made the connection.
That's how
just
great
now.
A sidekick Clyde was.
Yep. That's cool.
Yep. Way to go, Clyde. He made it into other genres and other films. Love him.
Mm-hmm. All right. I would be remiss if I didn't bring up Chewbacca.
You kind of got to, right?
Yeah, you got to. I mean, because really, you know, Star Wars was the main three, Han Solo, Leia, Luke. But Chewbacca, he was like, I think, one of everyone's favorite character, ones that lasted the longest, I think, through all these series.
Right.
And he always surprised us, too. Something would happen, you'd be surprised that, like, wow, Chewbacca knew that, or he does this, you know.
Right. Because he's this big brute, and he's mute for us, effectively. And you're like, oh, no, he's got it all together, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You talked about Star Wars, Mo. When we were prepping this list, we had a little debate, and I want to touch on it right here. We were talking about, R2-D2, he's a sidekick. Mm-hmm. And then, George, you said, wait a minute, who's the sidekick? Is it 3PO or is it R2?
Right.
Yeah.
Because one talks.
I think 3PO is the sidekick to R2, because R2's the one who gets shit done.
Yeah. I think I would go with that.
You think so? I mean, because for the surface level, again, because R2-D2 is effectively mute to us, and we talk to him through 3PO,
right,
it becomes very human-centric for us to think, oh, well, whoever is talking English must be the one that's in charge. But in reality, R2 keeps 3PO in check. R2 is the one, as you said, who plugs in and fixes stuff.
Together
and
every time he loses a damn
arm
or a leg.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, I might be coming around. Maybe it is R2. Okay.
John, you talked about your dad being a truck driver, and you mentioned the movie Smokey and the Bandit. Well,
I did.
There's a sidekick in Smokey and the Bandit.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Smokey. Right? No, not Smokey. Smokey's the cop, but
no.
Cletus Snow, the truck driver in that, he's not only a sidekick. This is one of the rare instances where you have a sidekick within a sidekick, because there's Cletus Snow, who is the sidekick to the bandit, but God love him, my favorite sidekick in that movie is Fred, the Basset Hound.
The Basset Hound
Snow
that
rides in the truck with him all the time. I saw that Basset Hound. I want a Basset Hound that will sit on the couch next to me and eat cheeseburgers like Cletus Snow's Fred does. I love that damn dog in that movie.
And he was played by country music legend Jerry Reed as well.
Cletus Snow was not Fred the dog.
Exactly. That's right. No. Right. You've heard his album. was his famous album, right? No, he played Kalina Snow, and he famous for, and he actually performed on the soundtrack for Smokey and the Bandit.
Course, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was famously known. He had a stutter when he spoke, but not when he sang.
Yeah.
And so he had a wonderful career. Jerry Reed did. He's one of my mom and dad's favorite country. You know, you look at my dad's truck in his big rig. He had Jerry Reed tapes. Absolutely did.
There you go.
Nice.
Mo kind of grabbed Chewbacca, which was, again, a pretty big, obvious one. And we were going through this list. It wasn't late till we're building the list. And I realized, oh, my God, what about Cameron Fry from Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Yeah.
The most, one of the most put upon sidekicks ever.
He'll keep calling. He'll keep calling. He'll keep calling.
I'll go. Shit.
Yeah.
I'll go. Yeah.
Shit. But I'll go.
He is a wonderfully strong character until he gets in the orbit of Ferris Bueller, who just overshadows him and drags him into every unfortunate situation that you could imagine, including his dad's car, poor sidekick.
You know, the actor never really grew out of that stigma of that role. Everything I've seen him in since, he's never a main guy. He's always somebody on the side. Like, he was in the movie Speed with Keanu Reeves, and he's one of the bus passengers who's like visiting Los Angeles for the first time as a country hit character.
So he's a victim.
He just does, like, John, even for us in Star Trek, right? He's in that first Next Gen film as the captain who's like gets put aside because he can't really be a captain.
Yeah. Get out of the seat where the real captains are here now.
Right.
He's sea boy.
Oh man, that's terrible. Oh,
poor Cameron.
There's a ton that we can go through here, but I'm gonna end us with two of the, but they're older, and George, yes, I'm older than you guys, which is why I'm
gonna pick
these two.
Okay.
But these are two from older movies.
Now, wait, Mo, is this from the talkies, or are we
wow?
Yeah, these are from the talkies. You know,
Wild
in black and white, though, I have to admit.
Oh, all right.
the black and white one, though, is Young Frankenstein. I'm talking about Igor. I loved Igor.
Frankenstein.
Yes.
Frankenstein.
Don't you mean Igor? No. Yeah. Oh, you can be Igor. Frankenstein. I can be Igor. actor. I mean, he's been every Mel Brooks film I think he's ever done. But Marty Feldman, I mean, he was just great. He was just funny, and he was great. And then the other older movie.
Wait, I got to talk about Igor. Didn't he have his hunch move from one side to the other sometimes because it was actually an affect he was putting on?
He says, what's your hump? He says, what hump?
Yeah, that's a white hump. What are you talking about? Okay, sorry.
Oh, that's okay. No. And then another one from another amazing comedy series, Kato from Pink Panther movies.
Oh, that Kato.
Kato.
Yeah.
He says, I trained Kato to attack me at any moment, so I'm always prepared.
Oh, right. Like, he would be lurking in his apartment every time he came home keep him on his edge, right? Keep him, make sure he's trained.
Yeah, keep him on his edge. Both of them are great people.
The poor sidekicks.
Yeah.
Many of these sidekicks sometimes are more memorable than the hero.
Like
nobody's memorializing Clint Eastwood in the film. It's Clyde, like you said, George. It's like it's crazy how these sidekicks take on a life of their own outside of just who they're hanging out with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we get back. We're going to talk about some TV sidekicks. You probably got a few in mind. See if we hit on your favorites.
Science. Hello, podcast fans. Want to get weird with us? Come check out the Mad Scientist Podcast. We're a weekly show that looks at the history, philosophy, and hard facts behind your biggest paranormal questions.
Did the government really pay for a psychic spy program?
Yes!
Is it true that surgery got its start in grave robbing?
Yes!
Can a roller coaster really kill you?
Legally, we can't say so for sure, but sometimes, yes! Join myself, Chris Cogswell, and my co-host, Marie Mayhew, as we examine the science, philosophy, and history behind the strange and unusual. All to discover what's possible and plausible versus what's, well, just made up. Check us out wherever you find your favorite podcasts. The Mad Scientist Podcast.
You're listening to Gen X Grown Up. But if you have a friend who's not yet listening, why not? Tell them about us. They'll thank you later.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, Schlemiel, Schlemazel, Hasenbeff Incorporated.
We're gonna do it.
Give us any chance, we'll take it. Resist any rule, we'll break it. We're gonna make our dreams come true.
Doing it our way.
Nothing's gonna turn us back now. Straight ahead and on the track now.
We're gonna make our dreams come true.
Doing it our way.
from the big screen to the small screen, it's time to get into the sidekicks of the TV generation.
Oh my God.
And so before we do, we probably ought to mention that we did leave out some specific examples out of the movie segment that we just finished. Mm-hmm. We left out some great ones like Samwise Gamgee from Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. We left out Mini-Me. The specific reason why we left those out, and we definitely had this argument in this debate, they did not appear in movies during the time frame that we consider to be Gen X. They were not 70s or 80s movies.
They were late 90s, early 2000s.
And that's what we generally tend to focus on.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, that's fair. We had to narrow it down somehow. I mean, otherwise we'd be here for 3 hours.
Look, we're not even including all the Gen X ones. If we opened it up to everybody, we would never do justice here.
And don't worry, I'll find a way to cheat later on.
We never doubted you. Yeah, wouldn't be a show without it. So I could kick off the TV. Maybe I'm the one cheating. I talked about Clyde from Every Which Way You Can, mm-hmm. or Wait But Loose, or whatever those are. I'm basically going to do the same one from TV with The Bear from BJ and the Bear. So another truck driving show. It was kind of like a typical 80s. If you never saw the series, imagine The Incredible Hulk, but it's a truck driver. He's going from town to town, getting in problems. And at the end of the episode, he gets in the truck with his monkey and he's off again. But for the same reasons that I thought Clyde was awesome, is this monkey who's a pet, but he's not treated like a pet. He's treated like a friend, like a colleague. And because he's a simian, the animal actor they had did some pretty cool stuff, and they used him to interesting effect. It was almost like a superpower. It's like, oh, you can fly, but I have a monkey, right? You could do cool stuff. So I just thought it was awesome. Oh, so yeah, well, I picked the bear for BJ.
It's a good parallel, though. It went from the big screen to the small screen, from the big ape to the small ape.
Perfect. Okay. I think the truck was smaller too, so it all works.
You see the plane. Tattoo, Fantasy Island.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anytime you mention Fantasy Island to anybody who watched the show,
that's all they say.
That's what they're going to say.
That's right.
That's the first words out of their mouth, is that line. Mm-hmm. So he was definitely a key part of that show.
You know, it's interesting you say that, Mo. I watched a lot of Fantasy Island when I was a kid, and I never really got to see Tattoo do much. Like, he was certainly a sidekick to Ricardo Montalban's character, but what did he do as a sidekick other than announce the plane? Did they let him do much?
He brought in drinks and stuff, and truthfully, he was way more effective in the James Bond film, The Man with the Golden Gun, as a sidekick in that one.
Yes, of course. Right. Yeah. Same actor. Yeah. Harvey Villachez. There you go. Good job. Yeah.
Well done. I mean, I just remember seeing him on the show where he did things like, because they had to pay like $1 million or something like that to go to Fantasy Island. He's like, how did they afford it? He's like, I did it for free. And Tattoo's like, you can't keep doing that, boss.
Right. These have all been pretty cut and dry who the sidekick was, who the main character was. I got one that I want us to talk about, but I really don't know who the sidekick is in this case. And it's the TV show Knight Rider. I don't know whether Michael is the sidekick or Kit, the car. I don't know which one is the sidekick, because Michael got brought in. They didn't need him. The car could do everything, basically.
Yeah, interesting.
But he kind of got brought in to the whole Knight Foundation, whatever. Mm-hmm. He wasn't even like their planned thing, if I remember right.
No.
That's an excellent point.
I watched it for the car. I mean, well, honestly.
Okay. So I watched it. But I mean, to George's point, Michael drives the car, but the car doesn't need him to drive the car.
Yeah. Sometimes he drives the car. Sometimes he's just driving the car.
The car lets him drive. Yeah, exactly.
Allows him to drive.
There are things that you need a person to do, because Kit couldn't do like social interaction and talking to people and subterfuge, because, you can't just, he's not a spy. Like, Kit can't put on a bow tie and go to a formal dinner. He's still a car, right? He can't blend in. But it's almost like I'm starting to think that Michael Knight was the sidekick. Because it's like, you just use the sidekick for stuff you can't do.
Right.
Exactly.
But the car can do most of the major stuff.
He makes up for things that you're lacking, right? He makes up for your weaknesses.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Yeah. The reality is, if Michael Knight dies, they can get another one. If Kit blows up, they're done. Maybe that's what it comes down
exactly.
to.
Exactly. It's hard to even use our rule that I used earlier about, a sidekick being immortalized in another genre later on. Mm-hmm. Both of these characters have been used in other things. So Michael Knight was used in the Dodgeball films as his David Hasselhoff self.
Yep.
And
yep.
Kit was used in the movie Benchwarmers. They had a car that the rich guy had bought. He's I bought Kit and it was the car. Yeah.
He had it
from the TV show.
Well, moving on to another one that's car adjacent. So here's a little series that you may have never even heard of. It's called Automan. It starred Desi Arnaz Jr., who's Lucy and Desi's son, and this actor called Chuck Wagner. And effectively, this was all the rage. I want to say it was like 83 when it's like, ooh, computers. Everyone's excited about computers. So Automan was essentially a man who's conjured out of the computer. And he had like he had glowy lines on him like Tron, but he had a sidekick named Cursor.
Wonder where they got that fucking idea from.
Oh, they got it from Tron, obviously. His sidekick named Cursor was like a cursor. He flew around like a little flying ball in the air and he would draw.
Just like Bit from Tron.
Yeah, yeah. He would draw the car and they would get in it and drive it. Or he'd draw a helicopter and they'd get in it and draw it. He was a living 3D printer that flew around. And he was definitely the sidekick. Like Automan was the superhero and it was like, here's his, you know, Muttley or whatever, kind of goofy sidekick. And he was always kind of bumping into stuff and making blippy noises. So he was a comic relief too.
Yeah.
I think that series only went like 13 episodes.
Yeah, I think it was one season, right?
Oh yeah, not even a whole season.
A lot of cartoons were back then, right? Yeah.
No, this was a TV series, live action.
No.
Yes.
This had to be a cartoon. Oh, we didn't even get to the cartoon segment yet.
No,
that's right.
That's
why it's so cool. It's so cool and computery. It's the same Tron stuff. It's like they have foil and they're shining lights on it. And it's it's crazy looking. But yeah, so Cursor, that was one I thought was worth mentioning.
Wow, that's a deep cut.
One that we put on our list. I'm not sure that this is a sidekick, but we put it on the list because it has relevance. Pierce Brosnan's role of Remington Steele from the TV show Remington Steele.
Oh, I know where you're going. Yeah. Yep.
Right. So the lady who runs the detective agency, she does it because a woman won't get her credit as a detective.
No respect.
And so she uses the name Remington Steele as a facade for her doing the work behind the scenes. Brosnan comes in and just appears in the first episode. Hi, I'm suave, debonair, James Bond wannabe guy. I'm Remington Steele. Who the fuck are you? Get out of here. They end up with that will they, won't they kind of thing. As soon as they won't, as soon as they will, they jump the shark and the series is off the air.
Yeah.
I mean, 1 year too late because we had to deal with Timothy Dalton in the James Bond series, but
one year too late. That's a zinger, but an accurate one.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, I didn't watch that a lot, but I was aware of the swerve on that series, which is Remington Steele isn't really the detective. He's just taking on the moniker because the detective is not getting respect because she's a female detective.
Right.
So,
I mean, the story was the first one of the two, but it was a much better... The story was much more well told in Moonlighting, which was the same kind of thing.
Same idea.
Same theory. Yeah.
I think it's pretty clear that Brosnan was the sidekick there, wouldn't you say? I mean, is there an argument the other way? I can't see a path to really.
Well, he certainly wasn't the star.
Right,
I mean, well, he was the star of the show,
but in the mythology.
But his character wasn't the star of the stories.
Right, exactly.
But honestly, I mean, if we go, what are we going to say that he did stuff that she couldn't? No. I mean, other than be a guy.
Well, I mean, that's what he made up for,
that's
right?
That's the only thing he's being used
like,
for.
Okay, so he's the sidekick because he has a penis. There we go.
That's what she was lacking and needed to get respect.
Right, that's
apparently.
What I'm saying. They make
according
it for
her.
What the person can't do. So,
yeah. To get so many fucking notes.
If she could have picked that up at the store, she would have, but she had to get it on a dude. So.
Right.
So he serves that role. Yeah, I guess it depends where you draw the line. But if you draw it inside the mythology, I feel like he's the sidekick.
Apparently you draw it between the legs.
I wasn't going to say that, but I knew you would.
So. You can rely on George.
If I was our next sidekick, when you made that joke, I would go, hey-oh, way to go, George.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, God.
The nighttime talk shows, look, there's so many. Like, again, we left out some from the modern because there's so many other ones you could use. But Carson had Ed McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
What an amazing sidekick. He literally sat to the side of the star in a not as cool chair without a desk. He was a hype man. Everything.
Yeah.
Oh, Johnny, that was so funny. I watched Carson as a youngster, and I was on the tail end of Carson as he was going out when I was really understanding and appreciating the humor and the celebrities. And Ed McMahon was maybe some nights my favorite part of the show. Carson was amazing, but Ed McMahon was the guy that kept it on the rails and kept it funny and hyped up Carson when jokes flopped. He was a great, great sidekick.
He's such an iconic sidekick that his whole thing is the basis for a story in one of my favorite cop dramas, Castle. There's one of the episodes, the sidekick of a late night talk show kills the host because the host was going to retire.
Oh, and he would be out of work.
Every time I watch that episode, I'm like, fucking Ed McMahon wanted to kill Johnny Carson. Kill Johnny. You know he did.
I mean, and to show you how important he is, I mean, when Carson had his last show, it was just him and Ed McMahon.
That's all you needed. That's all you needed.
Just the two of them. No guests, nothing. Just them talking about the show. You know, that, so that shows you how important he was.
Of course. Yeah. Another one in that same kind of genre of late night talk shows, Letterman had his musical sidekick, Paul Schaefer. Now, he was an amazing musician. If you were just talking about a musical gig, Paul Schaefer is the hero. He's the star.
Mm-hmm.
But on The Late Show with David Letterman, Schaefer was, he was the butt of jokes. They would cut to him when he had crazy reactions to dumb stuff that Letterman would say. And he was like the opposite of a hype man. He was almost like a roll your eyes man. Kind of, he was embarrassed to be on camera. Right. But he had some charisma in there that despite him being reluctant sidekick, Letterman just, he dug into that and made it all that much better, I think.
I love that you chose these two examples from late night show in our era because they've propagated into the modern late night talk show things. If you think about somebody like a Jimmy Kimmel or one of those guys, they have their Ed McMahon kind of guy off to the side of the stage, not on the stage with them.
Right.
But then if you look at Stephen Colbert, his musical guy is his
band.
Kid.
Yeah. Band leader. Yeah. Yeah. Same idea. He's very much a Paul Schaefer mold kind of guy on that show. No kidding. Yeah.
You talk about some controversial ones, but sometimes sidekicks weren't just a person. I think.
Okay.
So
sometimes they were monkeys. We established that.
Right. Okay. Sometimes were cars or whatever
cars. But this one, I'm talking about Lenny and Squiggy from Laverne and Shirley.
Oh, the duo.
Oh.
Hello.
Because they were a pair. They were always together. They were always a pair. And
inseparable.
Together, I think they made up a sidekick.
For Laverne and Shirley.
Well, because the two stars were a pair.
Exactly. Like they were one entity and they were the sidekick entity.
Schlamazel.
Who started off as sidekicks on Happy Days.
That's right.
We're digging in. There's some inception going back. Yeah. Yeah. What Michael McKean and...
I
can't think of who Squiggy
Nobody's
was.
Nobody's ever going to remember the other guy's name.
No. Or is this a test? Do you know? I can't remember.
No, I don't. I'm just saying nobody's ever going to remember. Yeah.
But the two of them as a pair, you know, they would like I said, I said it earlier, sling open the door. They appear at the most inopportune times. Laverne and Shirley would be saying, how can we possibly find anybody stupid enough to do blah, 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 blah. Hello. They appear. They open the door magically.
That hello was the best.
We've got our patsies. We know somebody that can get this done. Great.
You mentioned the word inception, John. I've got one for you, and I don't know a better way to end the segment than this. So the Dukes of Hazzard was an iconic Generation X TV show, right?
Mm-hmm. Crazy, crazy good.
All right. You've got three sets of sidekicks in one show.
Okay. Lay on us.
All right. First off, you've got Daisy, who is definitely a sidekick to her brothers, the Duke brothers, right?
Wait, there was somebody on the show other than her?
I've read the credits. That's as far as I'm going.
Okay, just be right. Sure.
There's Daisy Duke, cars, commercials, Daisy Duke, cars, commercials.
Then there's Enos, who is the deputy to the Sheriff Roscoe
P. Coltrane. That's right.
Okay. Then Roscoe himself is a sidekick to Boss Hogg.
Oh my goodness. Is Boss Hogg a sidekick to anybody? Does he go? Nobody would see.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, to Uncle Jesse, maybe?
Maybe the governor or something?
He's just the main bad guy.
Yeah, he's the main bad guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's a show that's built on that same archetype across the board. There's even the guy who's the mechanic that's kind of the sidekick again to the Duke brothers.
Cooter. That's right. Yeah.
So kind of supporting all these sidekicks. Yeah. It's not like, John, we love Firefly, right? That's an ensemble.
Yeah. That's an ensemble. Absolutely.
This is not an ensemble. Each one of these people are definitely subjugated to the person they belong to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You could almost make the argument that the Duke boys themselves are the sidekicks to Uncle Jesse, the patriarch of the Duke family. He guides them and he tells them what to do kind of thing. Not quite fitting the mold, but if you're going to string this out, the inception of it, there's almost a model, an argument you could make there.
There's a lot of levels in this spinning top. That's all I'm saying.
I think you're right. Goot, 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 them Duke boys.
You know, a lot can happen in 7 minutes, and luckily, that's how long it takes me to tell a story. My name is Aaron Calafato, and I'm the creator of 7 Minute Stories. I'm proud to partner with Evergreen Podcasts, and I'd like to invite you to join me on this journey. I'm going to take you on some crazy roller coaster rides using my unique extemporaneous storytelling style, and together, we're going to try to make sense of the world, all through the art of storytelling, and all in approximately 7 minutes.
Each episode of Gen X Grown Up has show notes loaded with links where you can learn more about our topics. And there's even more to see and hear over at genxgrownup.com.
The Pinky and the Brain. Yes, Pinky and the Brain. One is a genius, the other's insane. They're laboratory mice. Their genes have been spliced. They're Pinky. They're Pinky and the Brain. Brain, 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 brain. Before each night is done, their plan will be unfurled by the dawning of the sun. They'll take over the world. They're Pinky and the Brain. Yes, Pinky and the Brain.
George, as you mentioned before, we have a cartoon section, and I mean, oh my God, there's so many. I mean, so many we could do here.
Just say the word cartoon and let's move on to the next segment, because if we go into this, we're never going to fucking finish.
No, but we got to do some. I mean, we promised the listeners.
And we're going to miss somebody's favorites. There's no way we're not. I know.
Yeah. Well, let's start with the biggest name in sidekicks ever, Robin to Batman.
Oh my God. Is there a more quintessential?
I mean, that's where the term was probably coined back in the old comic book days. He was Batman's sidekick.
I mean, you look up sidekick in the dictionary, it's a picture of Robin right there.
Right. There's Burt Ward. There he is. Well, and we had a little discussion about this could be the TV or, you know, a movie or anything, but in reality, the TV show was just before Gen X. Tiny bit. The movies were after Gen X, but the cartoons, meanwhile, back at the Hall of Justice, right? That was squarely in the middle of Gen X. That was Batman and Robin.
Super Friends cartoon, we have to be specific because there are some great Batman cartoons that have come out in the 90s and 2000s.
Right. We're talking about Super Friends. You got it. Yeah, nailed it.
Now, one of my favorite cartoon sidekicks, and this is also dating me a little bit, is Muttley. He was Dick Dastardly's dog. He kept like that wheezy laugh.
Mm-hmm. Are you talking from the Wacky Races, the race car Saturday morning thing. Oh.
And also, there was another thing he was up because he was always after, Penelope Pit Stop? And so, you know, and things would go wrong, and Muttley would like laugh at him every time Dick Dastardly screwed up.
I don't know Wacky Races, but I know him from Laugh Olympics.
Laugh Olympics, he was
on
there too.
The Really Rock.
He was there too.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Yeah. It's just the fact that every time Dick Dastardly messed up, Muttley would laugh. That was like the hilarious part.
That was like his whole sidekick job was to laugh at pretty much.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Mo, this could easily have been yours too, talking about dating yourself with that. What about the Flintstones? Mm-hmm. Fred had Barney as a sidekick.
Yeah.
This is like, it's basically, the Flintstones is an animated Honeymooners.
Oh, right? Absolutely.
We know
absolutely.
That's what it is, effectively done so well, but these guys are the best of friends. He's a sidekick clearly in that he's not the star of the show. He follows along, but he had his own independence. He had his own family and his wife and his house and his son, Bam Bam, and everybody. But he was a sidekick in the way that I love sidekicks the most. Not a begrudging sidekick, not someone who's forced into someone's shadow. They're close friends, and he loves doing stuff with his friend Fred, even though Fred is always the instigator. So I think Barney's an awesome one.
Yeah.
Now, I will admit, we kind of pushed the limit a little bit on our decade range for this because the Flintstones definitely happened before the 70s originally, but they were in such heavy rotation on the repeats.
That oh my God.
I think every generation gets to claim the Flintstones as their thing, really.
I didn't know it was repeats. I thought they were all new for me.
Right. And I would also say Barney was Fred's sidekick. I would say Barney's whole family was the sidekick to Fred's whole family.
To the Flintstone family. I think, Well, if the only ones maybe, I think that Pebbles and Bam Bam were on even ground because they had a relationship together later when they were actually boyfriend, girlfriend. I don't think one or the other was subservient, but certainly Wilma had Betty.
Yep.
You know, Fred had Betty, or Fred had Barney, and then you had the
kids. If Fred had Betty, that's a whole different cartoon.
That's a different movie.
That's a deleted episode. You don't get to see that one. Sorry. All kinds of chaos in the Flintstone families.
I'm going to bring it a little bit more modern then. I'm going to bring it up into the 80s. One of my favorite cartoons when I was coming home, like in middle school time, I think it was in my memory. It was probably later on, and maybe I shouldn't have been watching this cartoon because I was too old for it, but Inspector Gadget.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. Inspector Gadget. Yep. Brain the dog. I'm going to put him forward as the sidekick.
Not Penny.
Now, who's he the sidekick to? Is he the sidekick to Inspector Gadget or to Penny?
I could go either way, and I could go mm-hmm. either way with Penny being a sidekick.
Yeah, yeah. I think you'd have a better case saying he's the sidekick to Inspector Gadget only because Penny is competent. So
sure.
Brain would help Penny, but Brain would absolutely bail out Inspector Gadget, who was a goofball and would mess up. So you could probably have a better argument that Inspector Gadget was a sidekick to the two of them because Penny was the smart one and the clever one was Brain the dog.
It's who's the star of the show. His name's in the title, so you got to go with him.
Yeah, yeah. But it's like a Get Smart, really. You know, he's the goofus, right. But he happens to be the detective. Same actor.
And oddly enough, same actor.
Right. Yep. Sticking, I guess, a little bit later than Inspector Gadget. And this is actually a cartoon that's still going, and maybe you could argue that it doesn't. It's a little outside of Gen X, but I think it falls squarely. And that's SpongeBob SquarePants has Patrick Starr. His faithful, dopey, ignorant, buffoonish, devoted, dedicated buddy and sidekick.
I'm just going to let you guys talk about it because I never watched a single episode of SpongeBob SquarePants.
Oh my God. Kids watched this thing all the time, and it was on all the time.
I purposefully kept myself or my kids out of the room anytime that thing was on TV.
It's not a bad influence. There are so many ways to watch SpongeBob. It's actually pretty smart. It's got some clever social commentary, and you can watch it as a kid and enjoy it one way, watch it as an adult, enjoy it another way. Mm-hmm. You can watch it as an adult on herbal enhancements and enjoy it an entirely different way.
Well, now you're talking about Ren and Stimpy. That's one we should have had on this list.
Another one. Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Again, who'd be the sidekick? Well, that was clearly mid-90s, so that's why that didn't make the list. But that's,
I'd say Stimpy's clearly the sidekick there.
Let's not do the debate. Okay, it could be entering hour three of the show.
Yeah.
That's how it would end up.
Okay, I'll go with one that I hate then. Masters of the Universe, fucking Orko. I hate that character.
Like I said, you
so
hate Masters?
Much. Okay. Flames off the side of my head. Just, oh God, I hate Orko. Hate Orko. If anybody gets that reference I just used and writes in about it, you win an extra Gen X grown-up buck. Wow.
So what is it that raises your ire for Orko?
So to me, he was a character that was filled in to make the show more kid-like, where the storyline absolutely could have been stronger, more in depth, and more adult. The whole storyline of Masters of the Universe really could be a great storyline, a great fantasy adventure epic kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But they wanted to sell toys, so they dumbed it down to kids who would get their parents to buy the toys. And
worked.
Orko was a great way to do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. I agree with you, though. He was pointless.
You can't not include Masters of the Universe in this list. So even though you have a distaste for Orko, we had to include the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one of my favorite cartoon sites. Kicks. This is a little, this is late Gen X, probably early 90s, was Pinky from Pinky and the Brain.
I didn't really watch that one.
I didn't watch a ton of it either.
Really?
But yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. No, to me, it was hilarious because, you know, Brain was the guy, you know, take over the world. Pinky, loyal. He's the one that actually had like compassion and would kind of, you know, was like his conscious, I guess, more so than anything else.
He was like the goofball with a heart. He was kind of dopey.
Was he Mini-Me? Yeah. Did we get a Mini-Me in the list?
Mini-Me?
Not really. He's not quite a Mini-Me.
Because Mini-Me kind of did that thing for Dr. Evil, like in the second or third movie, he kind of did the whole conscience thing.
Okay. Well, maybe that's where they got it from.
Well, I mean, I think we talked about Mini-Me and left him out again because he's outside of Gen X, unfortunately. But yeah,
right.
I guess similar role. Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
And actually, and there's one, I'm going to call an audible and throw one in here we don't have on our list, which is Spot from Hong Kong Phooey.
The cat. Oh, thank goodness. Why did I not put that one on the list myself?
I just saw
Scatman Carruthers as Hong Kong Phooey.
And you basically, that's the another cat saved him.
Spot was the one who was fixing all the screw ups. Yep. So in many ways, Hong Kong Phooey was the sidekick there, right. Even though he wasn't the hero. Ah, poor Spot.
Yeah.
So I think we'll wind out the cartoons. We could go on and on and on, but there's one we had a little bit of a debate about because out of the gate, we're like, all right, let's do Scooby-Doo. So Scooby-Doo's the dog. He must be the sidekick. You're like, well, wait a minute.
Mm-mm. No.
He's the star of the show. The show's called Scooby-Doo. It's not him.
Nope.
And then you're like, oh, well, maybe it's Scrappy-Doo. And you're like,
no, he
was added kind of later. And frankly, he can go straight to hell and die in fire. I don't like Scrappy-Doo.
He could disappear and I'd be okay with it.
And then, George, you had a proposal that who you think the sidekick actually is.
I 100% believe Shaggy is the sidekick.
Hmm.
No question in my mind.
Shaggy is the sidekick.
I see where he's going with that, because Shaggy was always there with Scooby-Doo.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever
mm-hmm.
Scooby-Doo was, Shaggy was there.
Yep.
And now the thing is that they were kind of similar personalities, though. Like, they're both, like,
they
terrified.
Were, but Scooby's the one who always ended up doing the thing that solved
That's
the
right.
crime. True. Whatever was going on, Scooby would pull the mask off, or Scooby would knock the barrels over into somebody.
You know, Scooby snacks.
Yeah, Shaggy never did shit. Shaggy just stayed high all the fucking time.
Yeah, true.
And Shaggy also enjoyed Scooby snacks, as I recall.
Yeah, he did.
He
also,
oh, yes, he did.
He ate the dog treats.
Yes. Yeah.
So ultimately, it's not Scooby. It's not Scrappy. It's not Fred. It's not Velma. It's not the van.
Mm-mm.
I think maybe we settled on it's actually Shaggy
yeah.
is the sidekick for Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, I would say that. Yeah.
Wow. We've done good work here. We've come to a conclusion that will be passed on through the ages. We've finally determined who's the
We're going to get some emails on that, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure.
That's why I made it such a declarative, so that someone would get upset and write in. That's really why I did it.
What was it like to be there for historical sports moments and unforgettable performances? To be behind the scenes? On PressBox Access, you'll hear from me, Todd Jones, and other sports writers about their experiences with the greatest athletes, coaches, and sports events of the past half century. We'll share some stories behind the stories, some big, some small, and some we've only told each other. Let us buy you a round on PressBox Access.
If you're a diehard Gen X grown-up, you can pledge your support by clicking join on YouTube or by becoming a patron at genxgrownup.com/patreon.
Knight Rider, a shadowy flight into the dangerous world of a man who does not exist. Of the innocent, the helpless, the powerless, in a world of criminals who operate above the law.
I mentioned at the beginning of this show that it already felt to me a little bit like the Gen X vehicles, the cars and boats and everything that we talked about, where we broke it down to TV and movies and things like that. And I think we'll do the same thing at the end of this episode where, look, we've run down so many that we've found. We've talked about so many that we enjoyed or hated, Orko, mm-hmm. George. In this segment, what I'd like to do is do a round the table and what is your favorite sidekick from any media? It could be cartoons, or it could be one we already talked about. Mm-hmm. It could be one we didn't talk about. Where do we start with? Start with you, George. What's your favorite sidekick?
Yeah, so I'm gonna fucking cheat. I'm not again, gonna go with somebody
show.
From
okay.
right. I'm not gonna go from somebody from the 70s or 80s, because if you're gonna ask me who my favorite sidekick is of all time,
which is the question, yep.
I gotta go with the 90s with Silent Bob from the View Askew universe, the Kevin Smith character, the Kevin Smith films,
played by Kevin
He's
Smith.
He's the sidekick to Jay, mm-hmm. and he may be my favorite sidekick of all time for one simple reason, that he is 100% smarter than the person he's beholden to.
Mm-hmm.
And he never says it until there's like one special moment in every story. Like even if you're talking about, you know, the very first Clerks or even Chasing Amy, which is probably his best coming out line of any of the movies, where he tells the whole "you're chasing Amy" story. And that's what gives the movie its title and the comic book within the movie. Silent Bob is... he's the conscience every time that Jay won't admit that he has. There's no better sidekick than that to me.
All right. I mean, it's cheating, but
it is cheating. It is cheating. I was going to ask you, George, maybe you've already maybe pretty well answered. I was going to ask you what your argument is that Silent Bob is the sidekick and not Jay. And it really is that I guess Jay is mapped onto that braggadocious, blustery, bullish kind of thing. And his sidekick is the one that kind of, again, like Goose, gives him texture, brings him back around. Is that where you're going?
Sort of. His silence in every scene that they're in together, which, by the way, they're always together in the scenes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Every time they're together, like, for instance, in Clerks 2, when the two young kids come up to buy dope off of the two and they're on the side of the movies mm-hmm. restaurant. Mm-hmm. Jay is the one who starts singing the song. $15, little man, put that shit in my hand. And Silent Bob is the one getting the money and doing mm-hmm. the transaction and everything. Every time there's an interaction with them on screen, Jay is the star of the interaction.
Okay.
Whether yes, it's yeah, with okay. the camera or another character or that's the story clear. Element, he's always the star until that one point of the movie
when
Silent Bob hits his wisdom moment and gets to give some grandiose meaning to everything we've been watching.
Yeah.
Got it. All right. Fair enough. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm convinced.
Yeah.
What about you, John? Have you got one better than that?
You know, I had one, but then since I saw you cheating, I'm going to also cheat and pick my actual favorite instead of the one that fits into the Gen X mold. And mine, not surprisingly, is animated, but not a cartoon, and is kind of a puppet.
Is it puppets? I was going to ask you.
A little bit, a little bit. I'm talking about Gromit the dog from Wallace and Gromit.
Oh my God, he's brilliant.
Stop motion. Okay.
Yes. Stop motion puppetry, if you will. Those films, by the way, there's a brand new Wallace and Gromit currently in production, which I just heard about recently because it hasn't been one. They've had other stop motion animation coming out of Aardman, but not a Wallace and Gromit in a long time. But in a lot of the same ways you were kind of talking about Silent Bob, and that we kind of talked about, Brain from Inspector Gadget. Mm-hmm. Wallace is the inventor. He's the guy that's getting everything done. He's the guy having the adventures. Gromit's along for the ride, and invariably he's the one that rescues him from absolute peril at the last second. But he's the one that's most paying attention. He's actually a little bit smarter, though he never says a word. He's the one that detects when in the wrong trousers that the penguin is actually the bad guy. You know,
he knows
really
what's going
makes
on,
right? All the big revelations. He's a wonderful sidekick because he keeps the hero on track and protects him.
Mm-hmm. I'm so disappointed. I can't believe you cheated to get this into our segment. How dare you, sir?
I'm no more disappointed.
You're impugning the intelligence of our listening audience. That's terrible.
But you did it. I thought that would justify it.
Well, let's go on to Mo then, because I know Mo's moral compass is straight and true, and he would never, ever fucking cheat.
Straight? How about, it has a kink in it, all right?
Okay.
It's kind of straight.
The other thing you forgot is Mo is so accommodating, he will bend his own will to accommodate the other, so he's probably going to cheat too.
Okay.
If everyone else cheats, I want you guys looking bad. So,
see? What a great sidekick. So
see what I'm doing there?
Oh, hey.
So, okay.
If you want to see what just happened, don't forget to go to the Gen X Grown Up YouTube channel to look at the short from this podcast
and see which finger Mo held up to me.
You only get one guess.
The thumbs up.
So the absolute, to me, the best sidekicks ever in a TV series are basically the Doctor Who companions. Had a sidekick with him, always had a companion with him. Mm-hmm. And basically that's the person that Doctor Who has to explain everything to. So you watching the show knows what's going on. Like he needs to explain everything to somebody. And it's always a sidekick. Now I'm going to do a not cheat and a cheat version, because if I was not cheating and picked a companion from the Gen X era, I would say Sarah Jane, Third Doctor and Fourth Doctor. She was in, had her own spinoff show from it, and appeared in the later ones with David Tennant and some other ones. Unfortunately, the actress died in 2011, but she was in like the later ones. You know, she had her own spinoff show. She came back for the anniversary. I mean, she's just the best.
Oh,
but
I didn't know she had a spinoff. That's cool.
Oh, yeah. The Sarah Jane story, Sarah Jane Chronicles. But I had to cheat and say my best companion ever is Donna. And anybody who's a Doctor Who fan knows what I'm talking about. She's actually coming back because David Tennant's coming back. She's going to come back too.
Oh.
She's the only companion that he had that one had zero romantic interest in the Doctor. Like, absolutely none. Yeah, you know,
good.
Like none at zero, which took that whole tension away so that they could just have fun. And she's the only one that also pursued to become a companion. Like because she had like one trip on the TARDIS and then she went looking for the Doctor because she wanted to keep going. And she had a bad pact and she was ready to go. She literally had a bad pact in her car. So when she found him, she was ready to go. And she's just the most amazing. And plus, it's Catherine Tate is the actress who plays her.
Oh, okay.
You might have seen her in the Office and some other things.
Mm-hmm.
Super funny, super great actress, and by far my favorite companion of all the sidekicks out there.
George, you're a horrible influence on us. You've caused us all to cheat.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's blame it all on the old guy who's the youngest of the group.
That's Mo.
Oh, okay. No, I think the youngster should be in trouble here.
Blame it on the baby.
Those youngsters don't know what they're doing. Yeah.
This is so much fun.
Yeah.
But I'm also have so much trepidation about the influx of emails of like, I can't believe you forgot. And we're going to look at the email and go, you're right. I cannot believe we forgot that either. And we looked online. We looked at lists. We looked at things. And then we'd go, oh my God, I can't believe we forgot this one. I'm sure there's a dozen more that we forgot. Fourth listener, we certainly hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. We're counting on you to keep us in check. And we know we cheated in the last segment, but on those we didn't cheat on, what did we miss? What are the ones that we absolutely should have included? Can't wait to hear what you have to say. That is going to wrap it up for this Backtrack edition of the Gen X Grown Up Podcast. Don't worry, we'll be back in 2 weeks with another one, though. Next week is the standard edition of our show. Until then, I am John. George, thank you so much for being here.
Yes, sir.
Cheater. Mo, you know, I appreciate you, buddy.
Always fun, man.
Fucking John. Fourth listeners, you, though, we all appreciate most of all, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Take care, everybody.
Gen X Grown Up is a member of the Evergreen Podcast family. Learn more at evergreenpodcasts.com. No more washy shows till sunrise. Unacceptable for grown-ups. Your dinner cannot just be
french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up. Oh, what's his name? Oh, shit.
I'm drawing a blank, too.
Feldman?
Yeah, that's close.
I thought I knew this one.
I thought I did, too.
Here he goes. Marty Feldman, I think it is. Yep, Marty
Feldman. There you go. There we go. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, Marty Feldman. Oh, sorry, I mean to do him.
Yes, sir.
I'm Allison Holland, host of the Kennedy Dynasty Podcast. Equipped with a microphone and a long-term fascination of the Kennedy family, I am joined by an incredible cast of experts, friends, and guests to take you on a fun, relaxed, yet informative journey through history and pop culture. From book references to fashion to philanthropy to our modern expectations of the presidency itself, you'll see that there is so much more to Kennedy than just JFK or conspiracy theories. Join me for the Kennedy Dynasty Podcast.